In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. While we are toward the end of the year, the Church put for us the same meaning of readings like last week and this week also about the parable of our Lord Jesus Christ by the sword. Let us see what is in Matthew. Last week it was from Luke. He said, on the same day Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Most of the fathers, former fathers, they understood that he came out of his house as God. He left his heaven and he came to the sea, meaning to the world. And this also shows us if the house is of God is the church, the servants has to not only serve those who are in the church, but has also to take care of those who are out of the church, because there are many. So when Jesus went there out, a great multitude were gathered together to him, because there are a lot of people out of the church, a lot of people waiting for the word of God. They're waiting, they came just to listen to his voice. And he talked to them, spoke many things to them in parables. And always Jesus was telling parables because it make it easy for the people to understand the word of God. Sometimes we give also kind of stories in our sermons or teaching in the Sunday school, or just to remind the listener to the word of God, as Jesus was doing exactly. He had always to speak with them in parables. And he told them about the sower went out to sow. And as you know, and as we said last week, that it's many kinds of people. They meet with Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ sow his word into our hearts, some of us just listen and forget after a while. And some of us listen and affected, but because we are so busy, we forget, and the word gonna, because we have a kind of a new sin in our life called busyness. You're always saying, I'm busy, I'm busy, I'm busy. Even you are not busy, but you are still saying, I'm busy, I'm busy. Like it became a part of you. And you might be at your house just going around in the house without doing anything. And if anybody calls you, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. Why you're busy? You have to give yourself time to think about God. And he has, yes, I go to the church on Sunday. Is it enough? I go to the Sunday school and teach. Is it enough? This is, you give to the world more than 99.9% of your time. And when it comes to God, I'm busy. Because you are always busy, or you're trying to be busy. Anyway, the most important one that others fell on good ground. Many hearts, many kinds of hearts, but one of them, a good heart, can listen to the word of God carefully. What is the characteristics of a good land, a good ground? First of all, it has to be flattened, clear, has nothing in it. So when the sower comes to sow, we'll find it just clear. So our hearts to be a good land, a good ground for the word of God, our hearts has to be clean, flattened, not thinking about anything, just God, waiting for his word. Simple land, when you see it from very far, it's very simple. And the good ground or a good heart, you find the person very simple. We are most of the time complicated. We think a lot without any reason. We keep thinking and thinking about even little stuff in our life. And sometimes we cannot forget a lot of things in our life. Which heaven not like that. To be in heaven one day, that we have to be very simple. Simplicity is the most important thing, our virtue, to take us to heaven. As I told you about Abuna Tedros many times, Abuna Tedros from Santa Anthony Monastery, and he was very, very simple man. I remember that one day, he wanted something from Cairo in 1960s, and he at that time there were nobody goes from the monastery to Cairo or vice versa. So he found a group of people from Alexandria, came in a bus. So he went to see the driver. And he said, "What's your name?" He said to him, "Muhammad." So that means he's a Muslim guy. Abuna cared not if he was a Muslim or Christian, doesn't matter with him. So he said to him, "Would you please get me a kind of burner?" So the man found Abuna is naive. So he said, "This is my chance to deceive him." So he said to him, "It's with 100 pounds. 100 pounds at that time, 10 pounds at that time, it's the salary of an engineer for a month. 10 pounds, 10 Egyptian pounds at that time, it was a huge amount of money. So he said to him, "You have to pay me 10 pounds. So Abuna asked him again, "Are you sure it's 10 pounds? He said, "Yes." It was at the time the burner he needs. It was only 10 piastres, like 10 cents. But he said to him, $10. I said to him, "Okay." He went in and he got the money, because the money for him is nothing, has nothing to deal with the money. And he gave it to him and said to him, please don't forget. Bring with you next time when you come the burner." He said, "Okay." So the man intended to steal Abuna and steal his money. And the following year, when the same group came from Alexandria to the Red Sea, it's a long way, around 600 kilometers or so. The Abuna went to the man who is in charge, and he said to him, "Where is my burner?" He said, "What burner, Abuna?" He said, "I gave your driver last year 10 pounds to get me a burner." I said to him, "10 pounds, Abuna, for burner? It's just only 10 cents, 10 pesos. And we don't know the driver." He said to him, "His name is Muhammad." I said, "Even though there are millions of Muhammad outside, so we don't know who is that guy and who is the driver. We are so sorry. I think the man stolen your money. Forgive me, Abuna. We will collect money from the group and give it to you back." He said, no, I don't care about the money. I care about the man." He said, "What man?" He said, the Muhammad. If I know now he stolen my money, it's very dangerous for him. We have to save him. We have to tell him, don't do that." And he kept caring a lot about the guy. So Abuna said to him, the servant said to him, "Abuna, he's stolen your money. Why you care about him? Let him burn with his money." He said, no, his wife, his kids. We have to care about them too. No, we have to do something." And he kept saying that. So the servant told me that I felt that he's a crazy Abuna. Why he's doing that? And he said, after 2 months or so, he said, "I went to Alexandria train station, main train station, to wait for somebody. He found Abuna Tedros coming from the train. Abuna Tedros, he cannot walk easily. He cannot. He had difficulties in walking. So when he saw him, he ran to him. Abuna, that's very great. You blessed our city. You came to Alexandria from Red Sea. It's a blessing. Why did you come, Abuna? Who is going to visit? He said, no, I came just to see Muhammad. I said, who's Muhammad? I said, Muhammad, the driver, the one who take from me 10 pounds to buy the burner. He said, Abuna, are you coming? Do you know his address? Do you know him? He said, no. He said, are you coming to find in Alexandria? You're Muhammad? Do you know we have 4 million here? 2 million Ahmad and 2 million Muhammad? And you're coming to see your Muhammad? It's Abuna. This is nonsense. And he said, I was upset. And I said, these monks are not, they're crazy. And I have to find somebody to carry him with me to the cathedral and say, take your monks, the crazy monks going in the streets and they don't know what they're doing. And he said, while I'm thinking like that, looking right and left to find a strong man to grab him to the cathedral, he found a guy coming from at the end of the station, running, and he came to Abuna and said, are you Abuna, the one for the burner? He said, you are Muhammad, right? So the man bowed down and said, yeah, I am Muhammad, and my wife in the hospital, my kids are out in the street because of your money. Take your money. It's a curse in my house. And he kept crying, and everybody in the station could see that a Muslim guy kneeling down before Abuna and asking forgiveness. And Abuna kept saying to him, I forgive you. I just came for you, just to tell you, your wife will be okay and your kids will be okay, but please don't steal anything else. Please don't do that again. He said, I will never steal any money from somebody like you. He said, no, don't steal at all from like me or not. Stealing is too bad. Promise me. So the man said, I promise, but pray for me, and if you really forgive me, take your 10 pounds. Abuna said, no, you need it. I got for you another 10 pounds to go and get you a help for your wife and the kids, and everything will be okay. So the people were surrounded them to see what's going on, and they found Abuna with a lot of love and kindness. So they start taking his blessing also, those who are not Christian even. And the servant, when he saw that among 4 million Muhammad, his Muhammad came and met him. So he said, oh wow, he's a saint in his mind. And he said in his mind, I'm mistaken thinking about that Abuna. He's a saint, he's not a crazy man. Anyway, I'll take his blessing. So he said, Abuna, would you please come and bless my house? He said, he looked at him in the eyes and said, why? I am a crazy monk. They have to grab me to the cathedral and... He said, oh my goodness, he read everything in my mind. He said, Abuna, my wife, my kids, please pray for me. And I want your blessings. He said, I pray for you, but don't think like that again. This is not good to condemn new people into your, or to judge others into your heart. He was very simple, as I told you. And simplicity, this is the good ground which God can work easily. If your heart is clean, and flattened, that God can just any word of God. How many sermons we heard before? Hundreds. How many times we read the Bible? Thousands of times. How many times we changed? This we have to ask ourselves. We come to the church every Sunday, which is very, very good. It's a blessing. But every Sunday, do we change? Do we come back out of the church and we feel that we got something precious and it's not there in the world? Sometimes after we come out of the church, immediately We forget everything. Even we are a servant, everything in our mind. Yes, I have a Sunday school. I have to go and teach. And I have a class. And I have to sit with the class. A lot of things. Even where is God in all that? You are busy. I understand you are busy. But even you are busy, your business about God, where is God himself? Most of the time we serve the house of the God, of God, and forget to serve God of the house. He is God. And if he is not the core of our life, that means we are losing a lot. Why the church is giving us this parable for 2 weeks now? Just to remind us, we are going to the end of the year, and everything, another year will go from our life, and we'll forget. We always forget. Imagine we are always forget. You can't forget that you were a very big man one day and have a very big position. And you keep thinking and telling everyone, when I was young, I was so and so and so. And if you are still young, you keep saying, yeah, I am studying medicine. I'll be the best doctor ever in Sydney. And you keep imagine that you will become a very important guy in the world. And even if you are thinking about that something belongs to God, yes, I will be priest when I grow up. And yeah, I know the church loved me so much. I'll be a priest and everyone will respect me. Where is God? And where is God in our life? We have to understand that if we keep thinking like that about our work, about our kids, about our house, it's very good. This is your responsibility. But in the meantime, you have to think seriously, where is Jesus in your life? Where is he in your heart? If there is a very big gap between you and God, what is the cause of that? Jesus has to be into your life. He has to be. You have to feel him every day and every moment, while you are talking with others, while you are loving others, while you are doing anything in your life, Jesus is there in the background or foreground also. He is there in front of your eyes. So we have to understand the relation between us and God. It's not a relation of routine. Coming to the church, confess, taking the communion, and leave. God, I did my part. That's all. Why there is a lot of grounds, many grounds and many kind of lands didn't accept Christ? Because some of them also, they come to the church, they listen, and they some of us, they feel that they are very good ground. Some of us, they feel that, I am a good guy. Look at me. I am a good guy. I'm a good girl. I come to the church and I'm a very good guy. I'm very important in the church. Yes, you are. But do you feel Jesus Christ into your heart? Sometimes the devil does something very, very tricky with us. He gives us the feeling that we are doing something for God. We're doing very good things for God. But to know if you are good or not, sit with yourself. Where are you, Jesus, in my life? Do I feel him? He's in you. He's in every drop of blood circling in your body. He's in every pulse in your heart. He is there. So if you don't feel him day and night, that means there is something wrong. I'm like you. I'm always searching. Lord, where are you in my life? I'm serving, I'm helping, I'm doing my best. But where are you in my life? Can I feel you? This is the good ground. If I'm young, if I'm old still, I have to get yielded a crop. Yielded a crop. So if there is a crop for you, that means you are giving fruit, that the fruit of the Holy Spirit can be seen into your life. At that time you say yes. And even if you do that, you will feel very small and very little before God. Jesus said, Who has ears to hear, let him hear. Everyone has ears. Is there anybody without ears? Everyone has ears, but not any ears. The ears that can hear his voice, the ears can feel his presence. This is the ears he's looking for. May the Lord God give us such ear and a simple heart, a simple life to be in heaven. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.